Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spellwork, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
What do we say? What did we used to say in the old days?
Welcome back to the Witchful Thinking Podcast. Rose and Brooke, and we have risen from the dead. We're kind of still in our graves, but you know, we're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. Life is a sack of horse shit right now, but we're trying.
It is hard.
So I guess, fuck me, dude. I knew this was going to be difficult. I guess I'll just say in the beginning of this, for anybody who didn't listen to the last episode, where I kind of explained initially what was going on in our lives and why we hadn't been posting. And then the very same day that I posted that, something fucking awful happened to me, so we continued not posting because
life has been shit
and grieving fucking sucks, and we both lost our pets.
That's
on 2020.
Yep. And October has been, this October has been the least spooky that Brooke and I have probably ever felt. And October is like one of my favorite months. I love the fall vibes, the spookiness, the colors changing. But none of that shit seems to matter this year because October's just been the longest month of our lives. Even though this year has flown by. And it's been rough. It's been hard. And there's just, yeah. There's like no other way to say it. It's been a really fucking hard month.
I always loved October. I feel like I was just telling my friend the other day, like, October is just like, I'm so psyched for October this year. For some reason, I don't know why. I've just, whatever. I'm normally, like, I like the month.
I love dressing up. Like, yeah. I don't care how old I am. Like, I love dressing up. I like doing cute matching, Halloween costumes, like with somebody, anybody, please match me. I want to do that. And my brother, every Halloween, Nathan and I live in an apartment and we get zero trick-or-treaters, which I've never lived in any apartment that we've ever had trick-or-treaters. And my grandpa lives very close by with my brother. They're just like 5 minutes up the street, and he lives in like a suburban area, and he usually gets a handful of trick-or-treaters. So since I've lived out here, I dress up for Halloween and I go over there and hand out candy because my brother's too cool for school. He doesn't dress up for Halloween. And my grandpa does. He likes to dress up and he likes to just sit in his rocking chair and watch all the little kids come up, and he likes to see their costumes. I don't know how that's going to work this year, but yeah, I'm not really interested in getting up close and personal to random strangers' kids this year because I don't trust any of them bitches.
No, I agree. I've never lived anywhere where we had trick-or-treaters either. And like, even as a kid, I feel like our house was so out of the way that we didn't have trick-or-treaters. So I'm like very...
Your house is pretty out of the way.
Yeah, it was very, very, like, off the beaten path, but, like, I've never enjoyed it either. Like, I feel very, I feel like my anxiety started with Halloween as a child, just, like,
yeah.
I want people
to. And, you know, both of us, like, both of our houses, the area that we live in is, like, highly populated with, like, older people. We're not in, like, a young, hip community with lots of young kids. And even when I lived in a house, we didn't have trick-or-treaters either. So
no,
but my brother did come over and he wanted me to help him like make little goodie bags, and he's gonna find some way to do, have you seen like DIYs of people using like piping to make the little slide
for
candy down, so that they want to do something along those lines in case they get any trick-or-treaters. I don't know why there's, I would just turn off the light and eat the candy myself this year. That's what I would do.
I think that the chutes, like the little tube chutes, are actually a really, really good idea, because then like you don't have to be touching on anybody. Nobody's nasty little nasty gremlin don't gotta be touching on you. That is the way that it should be.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that's a good idea for every year, because I mean, I don't have children, but I mean, it's probably unnerving in the back of every parent's mind. Like, my child is walking up to a literal stranger's door, knocking, and asking for candy, which is everything I've told them never to do. So maybe it's not a bad thing.
But, yeah, I don't have kids. You don't have kids. So I don't, like, this Halloween and that aspect is going to be, I mean, we won't even be here this weekend for Halloween. We're going up to Maryland. So I feel like maybe at Steven's parents' house, there might be some trick-or-treaters because they live in like a more populated, like nicer neighborhood. But I don't know. I'm going to just sit my ass on the couch. Maybe I will wear a witch hat. Probably not. I fuck this spooky season. That's what we're naming this episode. This episode is going to be called Fuck This Spooky Season.
Good. I like that. I like that. I was on the lookout for a really cute, like, witch hat, but like I don't want a stupid plastic one from Party City. Like, I want a good ass hat. I haven't found one yet, but I also, okay, there's a trend, I think it's a trend, I see it a lot on Instagram, and it's people just like going out in the middle of the woods and they're doing photo shoots with the sheet, the ghost with like the sheet, and it, I love that. Like, I think that's, I really think those are great. And it's so simple, and it's, like, the biggest, like, I don't give a fuck vibes to me. Like, it's almost, like, the classier version of wearing a t-shirt that's, like, this is my costume. Yeah. I don't know. I really like it. I think those are cool.
I think it's funny as shit. I've always thought that, the like, the person who showed up to the party is an actual ghost, like, with a sheet on their head. It's just like, bitch, really? But then it's, like, that's always so, like, that's the funniest outfit you could have. You're always, like, running into walls and shit. Like, you're, that, I love it.
Great. I love that.
I was going to actually do this past weekend. I didn't get to because it rained, but I was going to do a photo shoot with Kayla and her dog. And I was going to actually cut like a ghost outfit for him and put it on his head and like take pictures of him. Cause she's like obsessed with Halloween. She's one of those people who's like, spooky season is every month. And like, I love that about her. But we didn't get to because of the rain that has been pouring down.
Yeah, send it our way. Dude, Colorado is on fire.
Still.
We have two giant fires that firefighters are trying to prevent from merging right now. They're very close to be like coming together. And they're just trying to prevent that right now. But yesterday, or was it? No, it was just, I have zero sense of time and I can't even remember what happened yesterday. It recently snowed, either today or yesterday. And it was like 0 degrees for most of the day. It's freezing. So we're hoping that the snow helped a little bit. It's just so dry. It's so windy. There was tons and tons of smoke in the air. There were multiple days where there was just ash falling from the sky, and if you went outside, like, ash was falling in your eyes, and it was all over the cars, and it was, they were advising people to not go outside unless you, like, absolutely have to, because the smoke in the air is pretty toxic. So hopefully, if anything, the snow might have actually not helped that much. It probably helped a little bit, but it mostly probably helped to clean up the air. So don't eat the snow, kids.
I don't even remember when we recorded the last time. What was going on with the fires? Like, were that was it like people were starting to not talk about them as much? Or
for the most part, I think they were almost under control and they were smaller. But yeah, the two that are burning right now are two different fires from when we last recorded the podcast, I'm fairly certain. And I mean, places pretty close to us have evacuated. Like there's some areas in Boulder that have evacuated. That's really not far from us at all.
Do you think that you guys are going to end up evacuating or no?
No, I don't think it'll get, even if it were to get close to us, I still think there's only so close it could get, because since I'm in the city, Boulder is still in the foothills and there's tons of trees and things to burn. But in the city, unfortunately, I don't have that many trees around me. So I don't think we would have to evacuate, but probably people in Boulder thought they would never have to evacuate either. Fires don't usually get that close.
So I hope not. That's so fucking scary. Yeah,
they're really bad.
Yeah, you never know this year, dude. Fucking everything that we never dreamt was gonna happen this year.
Seriously.
I thought 2020 was gonna be so fucking great.
Do you remember New Year's of like 20? I have no. I have videos of New Year's. I don't remember much either. Nathan and I like went to a bar downtown and we stayed there and just drank a shit. Actually, we went to a New Year's party and we paid tickets to go to this pop art New Year's party, and I thought, like, the way they advertised it, there was gonna be it was like, it's in the Art Hotel, which is a hotel that's like also like an art museum. Like, they have like art lining the walls and people can just come and see the art, like an art gallery. And they were gonna have pop art and everybody was gonna dress up as, like, you know, pop art characters, whatever you want, and
pop art people.
We get there, it was so lame. There was like zero art. I was real pissed about it. And we left because it wasn't cool. And then we found this like little pub up the street, and that ended up being really fun. And I remember on New Year's being like, it's 2020, this is gonna be the best year.
Oh my
God, that was a different person.
Who was she?
I mean, how many of us are like totally different people than at like even like 5 months ago?
I feel like this year has fucking broken my spirit. I thought I was gonna, you know, we were gonna get through it. The year fucking sucked, but as long as I didn't get COVID, it would have been a good year. And I had no idea how fucking wrong.
Yeah.
That can be.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know exactly where all the planets are right now, but I feel like we are now entering the phase where, like, I feel like we entered it in September, to be honest, when the fires started, but we're entering the phase where everything is supposed to be popping off, like, shit's supposed to be hitting the fan, and it seems like not only is the world in a crisis, but, like, everybody you know is having a crisis in their own lives.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I remember a couple of podcasts ago, we were looking at, like, I don't know if it was the pattern, the app, or what we were looking at, or like zodiacs. We were looking at something and predicting kind of the fall and what the fall would be like according to the planets and the stars and everything. And I mean, it predicted a shit show, but I literally thought that was just going to be election related.
Yeah.
Which it still is. But, like, I literally didn't think that, like, that the shit show would be so shitty.
Yeah, I didn't know that we were gonna be the stars in our own shit shows.
Yeah.
I thought it was just, you know, the world's burning and we're living on it, not
right.
The world is burning and our lives are just burning.
like have you seen I've seen a lot of TikToks that are like, you are the main character. Like, we're all the main character right now.
That stupid fucking, the audio, like, the voiceover that's like, hold on, I'm trying to make my voice sound like it.
You have to pretend that you are, you have to romanticize your life. You are the main character, dude.
Stupid as fuck. And we're all in fucking, like, I don't know what movie we're in, man. The genre doesn't exist because I'm getting whiplash.
We're in like a sci-fi slash horror slash what's a depression movie? What are those called?
Melancholy.
A melancholy, heartbreaking movie. Like, oh yeah, let's go. Who the fuck goes to the theater and says, I want to see a heartbreaker? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Us this year.
People who want to go watch Marley and Me for fun.
Oh my
God. Fuck you. You're weird.
Seriously. And as soon as a movie comes on and a dog enters the scene, I'm like, I swear to God, if something happens to the dog, we're turning off the movie and I'm giving it a bad rating.
Honestly, I was going to watch The Haunting of Hill House because everybody's like crazy about it. And then somebody was like, I don't think that at the point that you're at in your life right now, you need to be watching that. And I was like, does someone's dog die? Because I swear to God, someone's dog dies, I need to know because I can't watch that.
Right. I haven't seen that movie.
It's a TV show and it's got the same girl in it from You. Did you ever watch You on Netflix? You should. It's really good.
I haven't.
You, Nathan, would probably really like it. But I mean, I've been watching Grey's Anatomy. I used to watch that in like 2015 and 2016. When we still lived together, I was watching it.
What? You did?
Yeah. Yeah. Brooke. What?
The whole time I was
in my downstairs
watching. I was literally watching nothing else. I started at the beginning when we moved into that apartment, and that's all I was really watching was that.
We were in our separate rooms, both depressed as fuck, watching the same show and never knew. Are you fucking joking me? That's like my go-to depression show.
So, can I tell you that my therapist, she is dumbfounded and literally doesn't even know what to think. I've told her about all of the synchronicities in our life. And she's like, doesn't know what to say. Like, she's shocked because she's like,
oh, it's weird.
It's weird.
It's so weird. Fucking weird.
And yeah. It's crazy. That's like also like my depression show, although I feel like I've pretty much watched them all, and I'm like always depressed all the time now, so I have to find new shows. Although have you heard that like people rewatch? I always rewatch Harry Potter. I don't give a shit that I've seen it 20 million times. I will always rewatch that. And people, especially people with anxiety, like to rewatch shows.
You know what's gonna happen. It takes that angst out of it.
It takes the angst out of it. And there's also like, I mean, there's definitely like the nostalgia thing, like you were saying with like were you saying that with the Twilight movies or a Twilight song or something? Twilight also does that for me. Like, it's very nostalgic and it honestly makes me more depressed, but it's like comforting. But yeah, I feel the same.
I noticed the weekend that Effie passed away and we went up to Steven's mom's, like, I wanted to watch something and I didn't know what I wanted to watch. And I was just like, I need to watch something that's going to take all of my focus so that I can just I want to see like some gore. I want to see someone with a pole through their body. Like, I want to just focus on anything other than my trauma and what I'm going through. And that's like, that's my fucking go-to show. And like, I'm glad that you fucking resonate with that, because everyone else is like, that's really weird. Why would you want to see more heartbreak when you're hurting? And I'm like, because it's not mine.
It's not mine. Right. No, exactly. Because I can like not think about mine for a second.
Yeah. Can I just please for a second dissociate and watch fucking, spoiler alert, George O'Malley fucking dying on a goddamn table.
Spoiler, like 12 years after it's been out.
For real. I know there's got to be people out there who are like, I wanted to watch Grey's one day. And I'm like,
yeah. Isn't it interesting? It is that the shows that we kind of go to when we're sad are sad. Like Grey's Anatomy, Harry Potter, Twilight, like really sad. It's not like we're not watching like The Notebook. Well, I guess that has sad shit in it too. But they're like very melancholy kind of movies.
Yeah.
There's probably a reason.
Because you can watch something bad happen on screen and you can walk away from it, but you can't ever like get away from what you're going through. Like it's,
I wonder if it's also because we're just like really emotional cancers and we just like need somebody else's sadness sometimes to forget about our own.
Fucking probably. I mean, I watch sad movies, I'll listen to sad music, I'll read sad books. Yep. But the thing is, people are like, well, maybe that's why you're depressed. No, and I'll tell you why. Because if I try to make myself watch something happy or listen to something happy when I am sad, then I get mad.
And I get pissed. I get angry. Angry. Okay. Like I won't watch it. I can't watch it. I don't want to watch comedies. I don't want to watch any of that shit.
No.
I want to watch something melancholy or like something gory or, you know.
Right? Like I don't know. Scary.
I imagine like I want it to be raining. I want it to be cloudy. I don't want it to be a sunny day.
Nope.
Where I'm sad and depressed.
Nope.
I don't give a shit about the sun. Fucking go somewhere. I need some rain, which I don't get in Colorado anymore.
Yeah.
I miss thunderstorms.
I agree. I always, anytime I experience death, I feel like I get unreasonably angry if it's sunny outside. I'm like, that's literally, it's not allowed to be sunny. Like, I'm... Which could be, can you hear Steven hollering in the background?
Just that one time.
I really hope that like it's nothing's picking that up. But listeners, if it is picking it up, I'm past the point where I can even apologize. So.
It's just there. It's fine.
But dude, he is so loud. Okay, hold on. I'm going to pause this for 1 second. Anyways, speaking of interruptions, I feel so weird. Oh, I'm gonna try not to cry. I really miss hearing Effie bark. Like I would be recording and like she would start howling in the background and like I'd always like laugh and be like, y'all don't know how many times I have to edit her barking out, but God, I'd give anything to hear her annoying little howl like one more time.
I know.
Barking at absolutely nothing.
Yeah. God.
We knew it was going to happen. Don't even play.
We haven't said it 20 other million times. We're answers. And we both just went through the shittiest time of our life. And we cry every day. and that's just how it is. Yeah. It's been really hard for me to even think that, like, shit.
It's okay.
Yeah. I miss my baby. I really do. That my cat was just something else, man. It took me forever. I always wanted to know, like, what he was. Like, are you a soulmate? Are you a familiar? Like, what the fuck are you? Because you're something. Like, I mean, that cat was, like, literally an extension of my soul. And, I mean, probably also because he went through, like, I swear to God, he's in the room right now. I mean, he went through like the shittiest parts of my life with me and the best parts of my life. And I didn't expect to only have him for 10 years. Like, I think I probably told everyone that we made a deal when, because he had to have a very expensive surgery 3 years ago. And I was like, boy, you owe me 20 years of cat life because I'm giving you this surgery. And I still, even if I had known back then, it was very expensive, that it was only going to be 3 more years, like that still wasn't his time to go. Like, I still needed him. And yeah, so Bingley, my cat, passed away. Like, it was like the second to last week of September. And I was a fucking mess. Fucking mess for, I'm still a fucking mess over it. And I have like always had a cat. And like my cats, like I only usually have like one cat at a time. There, when I was living at home, like we had other cats, but like mine, and like I am their human and they choose me. And that is a very important feeling to me, to have a cat that has chosen me. Like, I kind of need that. And I was talking to my therapist because I was like, I really, like, no cat is ever going to replace Bingley, but like, I need some kind of like feline friend. And I thought that even in the beginning, when I was even thinking that I wanted to get another cat, I felt so guilty. I felt like a bad cat mom. I felt like was Bingley going to be mad at me? Is it too soon? And I thought about it for a while. And then I was like, you know, like, if I, you know, getting another cat is not going to replace Bingley. And I'm still going to cry about Bingley forever, probably. But I did get a new cat, and he is the sweetest little bean, and he's really helped me. I still cry all the time over Bingley, but just having, it makes me feel comforted to have a little kitty with me. And I don't know. I'm going to tell the listeners like all my, how I got Bingley involved in picking this new cat, because like that was so special to me. When I was talking to my therapist, I was like, so I do like want this comfort, and I want to give a cat comfort and love, and I want to feel that from a cat. And she was like, well, why don't you first just start by asking Bingley like what he thinks about you getting another cat? Like, just start there. Just ask Bingley. And I have a little shrine for him in my living room. And, you know, I don't know if this is just because of like, I'm at a different place in my life. And I've already, you know, like lost so much that, like I do talk to my dead family members, and I do feel like I get responses, and I do feel their presence. And I was like, you know, Bingley is the same, and I don't think he's ever going away. So I asked him, and I was scrolling on this app called Pet Finder. And I was looking at kittens and shelters, and I was specifically looking for a black cat. Like, I just kind of wanted one. Like, black cats are adorable. And I was just scrolling, and like literally like this one cat like just stood out to me, and I really just had a gut feeling about it. And that's kind of it. Like, I just had a gut feeling. And right now, at least in Denver, like pets are pets get adopted really fast out here. I think in general, like, we just have a lot of people, but everybody's home right now and people are adopting lots of pets. So I like ran in to put a deposit on him, and he was still too little to take home, but they're like, we're going to call you. I didn't know how long it was going to be. And even when they called me, like, I had to come get him like that day, or like the deposit's off. Like, you have to, like, the day we call you, you have to come get him. I was like, okay. Cause like, and I have a job, like, that might not have happened. Like, I might not have had time to go get this cat. I'm trying to remember the order of things, cause I have such a bad memory. But when I was going up there to put the deposit, and I didn't meet this cat, cause this cat, even though he was at the he was a shelter cat, his litter was staying with a foster family. So it wasn't there. And on the way up there, I kind of started driving through an area where there's just no buildings, but there was this one giant, I don't know if it was an office building. It probably wasn't an office building, or an apartment complex or something. And the, what are they called? The numbers on your house numbers. Your address, the address was in giant letters on the side of the building, and it was 555. And I like looked over at the time, and the time wasn't a synchronicity, but I was listening to a track on my Spotify, and it was like track 1 of 11. And so I saw 111, and I was like, okay, that's weird. And I never let that stuff slide. I'm always like, what does that mean? So then we found out we were getting him. And Nathan and I go to the pet store. And this is like this is honestly like the part that blows my mind. And there was like a few other people in there. Someone else brought their dog. And we were walking back up to the front. We had gotten kitten food and like a scratching post and things like that. And this guy is telling his dog to sit, and he goes, Bingley, sit. And I don't talk to strangers ever. And I was like, oh, did you just say your dog's name is Bingley? And he was like, yeah. And I just like, okay. And I turned around and just like had a total freak out. Nathan had a freak out. And I was like, oh my God, like, not that I'm the only person in the world with a pet named Bingley, but it's definitely not a common pet name. And I've never met or bumped into somebody with a pet named Bingley ever. And that really just made me feel like Bingley was like saying hi. And he was like, I'm here. Like, I'm going through this process with you. And shit. And it was just like amazing. And then I was really struggling with what to name this cat, and I'll tell you his name in a second. And again, I was telling my therapist, I was like, okay, well, if I get another cat, like, how the heck am I going to pick the right one? Like, not that I want another, no cat's going to replace Bingley, but I want, like, I don't want a cat that's like my grandpa's cat that fucking hates me and steers clear of literally the even thought of me walking through the door. Like, I need a cat to love me. And like, what do I pick for the name? Cause like Bingley's name was just like perfect for him. And like, that was it. And she was like, ask Bingley what to name him. So I did. I was like, okay, Bingley, like, I don't know what to name this cat. I was on Pinterest. I was on a million different places looking for names, and I couldn't figure it out. And so I asked Bingley out loud, and I literally hit play or shuffle on my Spotify, and a Simon and Garfunkel song came on, and I was like, that is it. His name is Garfunkel. Like, that's his name. And
that was your mom's favorite band.
Yes. Yeah. That was her favorite band. And I think that they have some kind of connection. I don't know, you know, if this is like Bingley reincarnate, but I totally believe that they have some kind of a connection. And I almost like my gut is telling me that, okay, like crazy cat lady off the rails here, but I totally feel like Bingley like went to this cat and was like, yo, you need to love this girl, okay? Like, she's been through some shit. Please just love her. And I don't know. He's just, like, he's so attached to me. I'm totally his mom. He loves our dog. He sleeps with her. I mean, he just fits in so perfectly, and he's so sweet, and he really comforts me, and I'm really glad that I have him.
He's a beautiful cat. I wish that you guys could see what he looks like, but he's so cute.
So cute. He's 9 weeks old. Oh, no, he's 10 weeks old now, and he's 2.5 pounds. He's so little, and he sleeps all the time. He just plays and sleeps and plays and sleeps and plays and sleeps, and that's all he does. And he has the sweetest little meow. He's so talkative. He's asleep right now on my lap as we're recording. But if he was awake, he would probably just be meowing and talking. Like, he's so talkative. And if you talk to him, like, he will meow at you back. Like, you have I can have a conversation. And so Bingley was a Siamese mix. We never knew what he was mixed with. We knew that he was a Siamese mix. And I didn't even know this cat was a Siamese mix, but he is. He's a Siamese tabby. And I'm like, I mean, I had no idea that he was a Siamese mix. So he's a lot of similar, like, personality traits. Like, he, like, howls in the bathtub, like Bingley did. He goes in the bathtub and he howls. Is this a normal cat thing? I don't know. I don't know, but he does it too. And he, like, he'll cuddle up in the crook of my neck like Bingley did. Like, I just swear they've at least talked.
So. Yeah, they're connected in some way, for sure. I 100% believe that.
Yeah, and I have a new kitty named Garfunkel, and I still cry over Bingley all the time. But I miss that cat.
Fuck us, dude.
But, like, not that I would never equate this to, like, losing a child, like, to someone who's actually lost a child, but to me, you know, there are babies.
Dude, I mean, you had Bingley for over a half of your life. Like, he was 11, like, right? Yeah. Like, you had him for, like, all of your adolescent life, and, like, I mean, he's been through everything with you, like, your dad passing, your mom passing, like, all of your moves, becoming an independent person. Like, he's been there for all of it, and I just, it hurts. Like, it's a different,
yeah,
such a different kind of pain, and it's so hard.
And it was so, like, it's just, it feels like shit. Like, I don't know, it feels like there's just patterns of, like, the loss that I feel like I've experienced is just unexpected. And that fucking sucks. Because, like, literally the morning that shit went wrong, like, he was fine. And I had just taken him to the vet a few months ago because he got constipated and he was throwing up all day, and I'm freaked out, so I took him to the vet. Turns out he was just constipated. But the vet literally, like, there was a new vet there and they hadn't, like, reviewed all his paperwork yet. And I remember being in the room and they were like, oh, is he, like, 2 years old? Like, he's so healthy. He looks so great. Like, and I was like, no, he's, like, 11. And they thought he was, like, 2. And so it was very shocking. It was traumatic. I think there's a lot of shit happened that I haven't even told you about, and I'll tell you about it later, but one day. But, like, it wasn't, it was not good. It sucked. It sucked.
To lose a pet, like, so suddenly like that, like, it's as bad as losing a person in, like, a car accident or something. Like, you're not prepared, and I know that people will always say, like, you can't be prepared for death, but it's different when you know that someone is coming to the end of their life, or you know when, like, your pet is, like, has to be put down or something, versus, like, a very traumatic accident. Like, both of them died in very sudden, traumatic ways, and it just doesn't,
It's hard when one moment they're there and they're fine and then they're not. Like, that's, yeah. I mean, like, with my dad, like, I mean, compared to the other shit, I did have notice. I only knew my dad, he passed away. He had kidney and liver failure, but he kept it a secret because he didn't want to freak anybody out. That was nice. And I didn't
very nice. Thanks.
and the listeners don't know. I didn't have the best relationship. Like, I was trying to mend at that point. And then when I was trying to mend, he was like, oh, by the way, I have kidney and liver failure and I'm not expected to make it through the month. And so, like, that compared to all the other shit, like, had a month's notice. Cool. But like, I mean, even then I was like, a month, like that's not, like, I need more time, you know, like I wasn't ready for that. But when someone is just there and then they're not in a split second, like, that is something else.
It just doesn't make any sense. And it really just, I mean, I don't want to say you would think, but, like, as much loss and, like, grief as we've dealt with in our lives at our age, you'd think that it gets easier, but it really fucking doesn't, because every person and every animal that you lose has different feelings and different emotions and memories attached to it. And it's just, like, every fucking time, like, I know we're both going to lose everybody in the next 70 or 80 years, but knowing that doesn't change how it feels when it actually happens. Like,
no, I mean, literally the baggage just gets heavier.
Yeah.
Just carrying it for longer.
As soon as you've kind of accepted something to be the truth, you know, 7 or 8 years after it's happened, typically something else will happen. And just, like, I mean,
yeah.
Like, I know that we're, like, you know, we're laughing and we're trying to, like, be good sports and everything while we're recording this, but, like, anybody who's listened to this who's lost a pet, like, you know, like, you know how we actually feel. And it's really hard to move forward. I just want to move forward.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
And, like, I don't know, like, I mean, now I have a therapist. So, like, I have really good people in my life. And yeah, you'd almost think, like, I'm older, I have resources. That ain't shit still. Like, it isn't. And the only difference is I'm not 18 anymore. And I still have to work. I can't take 4 months off of work. When my mom passed away, I literally took 4 months off of work and I laid in bed and gave myself a kidney infection.
True story.
But yeah, the difference is, I mean, I texted my boss, it happened over the weekend, and I was like, hey, I need to take tomorrow off. My cat passed away. Like, literally, you feel like, sometimes you feel like, oh, your cat passed away, like, you need to take a day off. I mean, they understood, but, like, I took a day off. I need a month off. Yeah. I don't have a month's worth of PTO. A day. And it was a Monday, so I had the whole rest of the week. And I had to go, actually, into my office on Tuesday, the day I came back to work, because somebody needed me in there for something. And like, every time I'm in there, like, they know how much of a cat lady I am, and they were asking me about my cat. And I actually did this when my mom died, and I lied because I couldn't speak. So I was like, I mean, I didn't lie, but I didn't tell them what happened. I was like, yeah, I just, But like, I mean, there were for a long time after my mom died, when people who I didn't, like, know, like, people who I was never going to see again, when I was working in restaurants, You're like, oh, what are you doing for Mother's Day? Like, I would fucking lie because I couldn't talk about it without breaking down in front of a table. So I'd fucking lie. Like, I would. And the day I go back and they're like, oh, look, I did this over the weekend. And like, they always ask me about my cat, which is great. But like, I couldn't talk about it. And so I just like, was like, yeah, no. And I would change the subject. And I couldn't even like speak the words because I mean, if, you know, for a while you're still like somewhat in denial and disassociating and you can't speak those words for a while.
Yeah. Cause that makes it real. And then you have to face the fact that it's real.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like
grief is a fucking bitch, man. Like, damn it. My therapist thinks she was like, I really like her a lot. I really love her. I cry every single time I call her. But she was like, I feel like grief and loss. I mean, those are unfortunately like big themes in your life. And like, you're really young. Like, what does that mean? She doesn't know, but she was like, what does that mean? Like, I don't know.
You're the fucking therapist, bro. You don't.
Professional, give me the answer. Like, I was like, yeah, I feel that way too. Honestly, like, and at this point, like, after everything that's happened, like, my biggest fear is being the last one alive. Like, literally everybody dying before me and me being alone and the last one alive at like 90 years old.
I felt that. I can understand that.
Yeah. You know,
I feel like this kind of thing has, you either like grow from it or it really haunts you forever and turns you into somebody who is like scared of everything or like, you know, scared to leave the house, scared to have another pet, scared to like trust people, just a million things, or you can, you know, try and take something positive from it. And that's like so much easier said than done. It is so hard to see like your cat toys or your dog toys and take something positive from it when like all you want is like one more day with your best friend. I mean, that literally, like, I mean, Effie was my familiar, Bingley was your familiar, like, that's just like, yeah. And for people who aren't even, you know, like, spiritual or, like, they don't resonate with some of the more witchier things that we say, like, that is literally an extension of yourself. Like, I literally just feel like someone cut my arm off and then, like, cauterized the stump and was just like,
cool, move on.
Yeah, like, cool, move on, go, like, keep working, you know, keep, like, try to act like shit's normal. And then there's, like, the people who, you know, unfortunately for them in this life, they have not really been blessed with the ability to love something that isn't human. Some people are not animal people, and I pity them. I understand, like, I mean, I can't say understand. I don't understand how you could not be an animal person, because like connecting with something that is not human and can't speak with you, but you still show up for it every day and you take care of it and you love it, even though it doesn't pay you, it doesn't to speak to you, it doesn't always listen to you.
If you died.
It might eat you if you died. That will happen. But
yeah. People, I wouldn't want anybody else to eat me.
We got fucking problems. But like, some people just don't, like, they don't understand it.
I had family members give me some serious shit and really guilt me when I got Bingley that surgery a few years ago. Like, they literally were like, just put him down. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm literally in your fucking throat right now. Get your ass out of your, like, in your own business. Shit. Like, and it also, like, I don't know, I feel like you feel this too. Sometimes, like, the worst part, okay, there's literally a million worst parts, but one of the worst parts is there is nothing anybody can say. There's literally nothing anybody can say that will make anything ever feel better.
No.
But people don't know what to say and they want to say something. And like the worst things sometimes are like, you're going to get through this.
They're in a better place.
Right. Remember the happy memories and not the sad memories. And when you are like, okay, maybe say that like 2 years from now. Okay. Because there's so many things going on. And that's my biggest thing, is that nobody ever knows what to say. And when you're in grief, at least for me, like sometimes that shit makes me angry.
Yeah. I just want to say, go the fuck away.
Yeah. Yeah. But like as a Cancer, like I also like need people, but I like need people to be there and like just not say anything, you know, or just like say something else, like talk about something else. Like, can we just, need to talk about.
At the very fucking least, like, could you just say, like, I love you and I'm here for you, and just, like, sit and be, to me, the worst fucking thing is for someone to either say some stupid shit or to totally leave me alone. It's not my job to tell you what to say, bro. It's not. It's fucking not. Like, it's never anybody, grieving a human or a person, it's never anyone's job to, one, tell you how to grieve, or two, it's never a grieving person's job to tell you what they need. If they want to, that's fine. But I don't know. I feel like that's something that people should be taught. You remember when we were kids and we had like the they were called like specials or whatever, and one of them was like counseling. Like, you'd go and talk to a school counselor your whole class. Maybe we only did that at LAD.
I was indoctrinated at a stupid religious school. We did.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Mental health is not a thing because all you need is Jesus. I did not go to group therapy as a kid.
We did, and I remember Mrs. Applewash, that was her name, and she was our counselor, and she would talk to us. She did family life for us too at one point and taught us how tampons worked. It was so fucking weird. She like, that is like a perfect opportunity in a public school setting to teach children, like, this is what you say to someone who is really, really sad. This is what you don't say. This is what you don't do. Like, learn how to read the fucking room. I have learned more about myself and the people around me in the past week or so since Effie has died than I ever thought possible. I thought that I had seen everything I was gonna see that would shock me this year. Between Trump and the protests, I was like, there is no fucking way that anybody can do anything to me this year, or anything can happen to me that will sweep me off my feet. And I was so fucking wrong.
Yeah, same.
It's just so fucking disappointing.
I think that in schools, I think that we totally should be taught how to manage emotions and what to do with other people's emotions, just like how to talk to someone who's sad, how to talk to someone who's grieving. And I also wish that we were taught the reversal of you grieve however you want to grieve, because it wasn't like, I mean, for a whole week, I was thinking about getting a cat, and all I could think of was, first of all, I'm a bad cat mom, and like, what is everybody else going to think of me? Are they going to think that I didn't love my cat because I'm going to get another one? And my therapist was like, no, like, that cat's going to help. If you get another cat, it's going to help you. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. You're still grieving, and you're going to grieve for a long time. And so many of us, like, I still don't know how to properly grieve. What is the right way to grieve? And that's different for everybody. But, and it's gotten probably better over the years because I've gotten shit ton of practice. But like, in the beginning, like, I didn't, you know, I mean, we lived together. Like, you lived with me through the first, like, I mean, I lost my dad before that, but it just wasn't the same. And I didn't know how to manage my body. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to breathe. And we're not taught that that's normal.
Yeah, nobody teaches kids that.
No. It's
not. Nobody teaches, and no one ever teaches you, like, no one, nothing in life prepares you for that kind of feeling of, like, what do I do? How do I take care of myself when all I want to do is sit here and cry because I have nowhere to put all of this, like, leftover love I have for this person or this animal? I don't want to shower. I don't want to eat. I don't want to comb my hair. I don't want to show up to these stupid fucking Zoom meetings.
Yeah. Fucking, you know, if there's one benefit, I've had a lot of benefits of working from home. Also, I am so happy that for the past 6 months, like, it's really unfortunate, but I think it was Bingley's time to go, even though I didn't want it to be. I do think it was. And I just don't think he's ever gone. Like, I literally see shadows running around out of the corner of my eye before I got Garfunkel. And I, like, knew it was him. And I could feel, because he always, like, the second I sat down anywhere, like, that cat was on my lap, especially if I was laying down. And I would just notice that I would, like, feel weight in my lap while I was laying down. And there was one time, because I accidentally used to bop Bingley in the face with, like, my iPad. Because I would, like, be on my iPad doing something, and I'd, like, put the iPad down, and he was right there. So I'd bop him on the head. And there was a time, there was, you know, obviously after it first happened, and I was feeling this weight in my lap. And I put the iPad down and go, oh, sorry. Like, there's nothing there. But, like, it was a happy, sad thing. Like, I literally was like, oh, you're, like, right there still. And actually, I don't know if I told you this. I think I told you this. The fly. Okay, no, I didn't tell you about this. This was just the day of that it happened, and then the following 2 days. I was such a mess that I really think that Bingley, like, manifested as an animal to comfort me. And now I can just, like, feel him. So he doesn't, I'm guessing he doesn't feel the need to come to me. He came to me as a fly.
What the hell?
And let me tell you, I think this is just me and it makes me happy. The very last day, okay, wait, I'm going to tell you in chronological order because it gets good. So the day everything happened, like, it happened in the morning. We were up literally all night at the ER, and everything happened early in the morning. So it was, like, still breakfast time. It was, like, 11, and Nathan and I were like, we need to, like, go get a bagel. We haven't eaten in, like, 48 hours. And so we went to Einstein's and put a to-go order in, grabbed it, and we went in to eat it in the car. And it initially did not strike me as weird because the window was down and a fly was swarming around my head, just buzzing around my head. And it didn't have any interest in my food. It was literally just swarming around my head, bothering me. And I was trying to get it out of the car, but we were taking Nathan's car because my car had actually died that weekend too, so I didn't have a car. lots of shit happened. My car's working now, but Nathan's car has a broken window. Like, the motor's broken, and it, like, the window wouldn't go back up, so we were, like, shooing out the fly, and it kept coming in because the window wasn't going up. It was like, okay, that, nothing about that, like, was weird to me. And then we went home, and we just don't have lots of bugs here. It's very dry. There's zero humidity. Like, flies don't hang around here. Bugs don't hang around here, at least in the city. Maybe they do. We don't have fly problems ever. And we get back home and there's a freaking fly in the house. And we're like, oh my fucking God, what is this stupid fly doing in the house? And it kept swarming around my head. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Shit. I wrote about it in one of my journals, but I think I remember everything. I just have a bad memory. So I have to write everything down. But then it landed on my knee, and it was just there, and it watched me. It was like literally just looking at me, and it started cleaning itself on me. Like, it started cleaning its wings and its legs, and it sat on me for like an hour, and I didn't move. And I was like, what the fuck? I was
Whoa. Like,
I'm kingly. And it just sat with me, and it watched me for a long time, and it stayed in the house like the whole day. And I told Nathan about it, and he kind of felt the same way. But we shooed it out eventually. And then the next day, it came back. The fly that we had shooed away, and we never have fly problems, and it sat on my knee and watched TV with Nathan and I for like 2 hours.
What exactly. The fuck?
I'm not joking. And it just looked at me. It was looking at me for 2 hours. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then it would like find random places to perch. And I would look at it, and it was looking at me. And I just swear up and down that was Bingley just manifesting and coming back to say hi to me. And like, I still kind of needed a physical animal. I don't know why the fuck he chose a fly. And then the very next day was the presidential debate, and that fucking fly was on Mike Pence's head. And the whole time I was laughing, I was like, Bingley, is that you? Like, is that you? Are you at Mike Pence's head?
I was going to ask if that tied into the debate somehow, because I was like,
of course, like, I don't know. But I was having fly things happening in my house, and it was weird. I told my therapist about it. She was like, oh, that's totally Bingley. And then after that, I didn't see the fly ever again. It hasn't come back. We haven't had flies. But I really do feel like I've just felt Bingley's presence around the house. And honestly, I kind of feel him like when I go out, like when I'm in my car, I swear to God, he's sitting in my passenger seat. Like he gets to come on adventures now. He gets to come out with us. He gets to come to work with me. And, yeah, so that was like, and I mean, I was looking for signs. I was looking for messages. I was looking for those things because, you know, I think that they're always with us. But
yeah, I definitely feel like sometimes it's a fine line. If you're looking too hard, you'll miss the obvious. But if you aren't open to it at all, you'll never pick up on anything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely really hard. Because, yeah, you're like, what the fuck am I looking for? Or sometimes I get in my own head and I'm like, okay, am I overanalyzing a fly? Kind of stuff. But I think you just, when you know, you know. I think it's just all in your gut and your intuition. And like, when you know, you know.
I don't think that Effie has, no, I don't think she's necessarily like manifested as an animal, but there have, I mean, I've already, I think, told you all of these instances I'm about to list.
Yeah.
But like, there's been multiple occasions since she passed away where I know that it was her. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that it was her. But like,
for sure. You've had, yeah, crazy shit has been happening in your household for sure. And
yeah, I mean, the first, what was the first one? The first one happened October 14th, which was a week to the day that she died. And I remember asking, I don't know if I said out loud or if I thought about it or if I texted it to somebody, but I remember specifically saying, I'm just asking for one dream, like just one little dream. So I know that she's okay and that she is not upset or angry or scared. Like, I just need to know that she's okay.
Yeah.
And I woke up, and a lot of times I don't remember my dreams because I take melatonin at night, and it just gives you sometimes such vivid dreams early in your sleep cycle that like by the time you wake up, you don't have
like that half a second, like just yeah. a half a second, and then it's gone.
Yeah. And then you wake up and you're like, the fuck? But I remembered all of this dream, and in it, this kid that I was friends with in college, but I don't really speak to all that often now. He really loved Effie. He was always very good to her. He showed up in the dream and he was beside my bed, and I sat up and I was like really excited to see this person. And he said, you know, we can talk later. Someone else needs you a lot more right now. She misses you so much. And something just told me to turn my head and look at the end of the bed. And it was literally like very lucid. Like everything in the bedroom was set up the exact way that it is in real life. Like my bedside lamp was on the same way that I had left it on when I fell asleep. And I looked down there and she was at the end of the bed in her little spot where she'd sleep every night. And she just came like bounding up towards me, all like cute shit, like she always was. Mm-hmm. And she just like jumped into my arms. And I, in that moment, I was aware I was dreaming. Like I knew I was dreaming. And I, something just told me like, just hug her and just like lay back down. And I woke up and my arms were in the same position that they were in the dream. Like I'd been holding her. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up and I felt very peaceful. I didn't cry until later. But we had gotten her cremated the same day that she died, and her ashes took exactly 1 week to arrive. And someone rang the door at like 10:30 and dropped a box off. And I knew immediately that it was her and that she had come to me in that dream to tell me like that she was okay, because she knew that receiving the box with her remains was gonna tear me apart. And it made it that much easier, I think, to get through the day, just like knowing like, wow, like they really can send us messages.
Yeah.
Like from the other side. And yeah, they sent us her ashes and they sent us a bag full of her hair and they sent us a little paw print. And
I love that paw print.
I do too. I have it on my altar and I light a candle for her almost every day as long as I'm in here. And it's been hard. It's been hard to even sit in this office. It's yeah. really hard, because she would always sit on like this little leather poof.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so tired of seeing it without her on it that now I have it under the desk so that I can put my feet on it. And it's just like,
yeah.
And then so, If any of you follow me on Instagram, then you've already seen this documented. But Steve and I were walking the other day and he kept telling me, he was like, there is a stray dog in this neighborhood. Like there's a stray dog. It was looking at me. He was like, I don't know. I've never seen this dog before. Cause like we would walk Harley and Effie all the time. So we know all the dogs, who they belong to. Wait. Can you not hear me? Hold on. We know all the dogs in the neighborhood and we know who their owners are and we know where they live. So like if anybody gets loose, like we know how to return them. And this dog, we'd never seen her before. And it was a pit bull, a mini pit bull mix. So sad. And she had clearly just had puppies because her like nipples were like hanging really low. And we went on a walk and Steven spotted her again, and she was sitting in a neighbor's yard, like in the same spot that he said he'd seen her like an hour or two before. He literally went right up to her and picked her up. Like she was perfectly fine with it. She was like in pictures, and now that I look back, it looks like she was happy to see him. Like she genuinely looked like so happy that someone was paying attention to her.
I thought that she looked, I could just see relief in her eyes.
She did. She looked really, and I could feel the relief. Like, just. She
was so, I love pitties because I have a pity.
And she was so.
She looked so sweet, but so sad and relieved. And she was, she'd been really,
she was definitely neglected. I don't know if she was necessarily abused, but somebody was not taking care of her. And I think that she'd had puppies and then been weaned, like they'd been weaned, and then they just dumped her off on the side of the road because they didn't want her anymore. And so we brought her home and ended up calling the, like, what is it called? It's like a sect of the police department, but they deal with animals.
Animal control?
No, it's like animal protection or something. They deal with like wildlife and like,
yeah, Just like I don't know. Some kind of animal rescue service.
Yeah, it was some type of rescue service because I made sure that I didn't call like a kill shelter. I didn't want to take the risk. I was like, there's nothing wrong with this dog. Yeah. I know some people are scared of pit bulls and they like she might not get adopted too fast, but she was very sweet and she kept putting her head on my knee and like looking at me and you know, for a split second, I wanted to keep her. I wanted to. And I know Steven did. And I had to put my foot down. And I was like, no, like, I can't. Like, I'm not ready. I can't. And so someone came and got her. And thankfully, I do think that my friend is going to adopt her as soon as the 9-day period for someone to claim her is up. I know nobody's going to claim her. Whoever dumped her doesn't want her back. But I'm glad
that you guys found her.
Yeah, I don't feel like it was Effie, but I do feel like Effie sent a message to this dog and said, stay right here. They come down this route like 3 times a day. If you stay here, they're gonna pick you up and they're gonna take care of you, I promise. And like, sure enough, like we did, and she was just
Because she didn't run away from you. She was waiting to be helped.
Yeah, and she followed us for like a period, and I finally just said, like, just pick her up, just like, you know, she's tired, she looked young, but like, god, after she had like the stuff on her face that dogs get when you leave them out in the cold,
yeah,
like the black gunk and stuff, and it just, she was so cute, but
she was cute.
People are such, and then it just made me angry because how can people like you and I love our animals so much, and then there are people on the complete opposite spectrum who don't give a fuck?
Psychopaths.
Literal psychopaths. Like, you belong. If you neglect an animal, I honestly feel like you belong in the same circle of hell as like a fucking pedophile or something, or someone who beats kids.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if I could, I would replace most of the people on this planet with pets.
Honestly, we should have a pet for president.
We should.
President.
My dog would be a better president than anybody.
Honestly, Lucy and Harley should be president.
Yeah.
And we should just get like a whole Senate, make it all of dogs.
Yes. Oh my god. That is so funny. Oh, and then, because that was, you've had multiple animal experiences that just last week with the bat.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that. What if that was her?
I think that Effie is so, I don't know, I just kind of get this feeling that she's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And she literally threw a bat at your face. She made sure it didn't hit you. But how many, like, you've had a lot of animal encounters this week.
Mm-hmm.
And animals that, like, kind of needed you.
Yeah.
And not that those were Effie. But I don't know. That's a bat literally catapulted towards your head.
Yeah, I was just sitting on the front porch trying to enjoy some hot chocolate, and it's hard for me to sit on the front porch because I have direct line of vision and I can see exactly where she died. And I was like, I'm gonna sit out here and I'm gonna be okay. And the second I sat out there, this freaking bat comes flying through the air and it landed in my plant. Like,
what the heck does that mean? Okay, bats don't come flying towards people's heads, okay? And how often have you sat on that porch and not had bats come hurling towards your face? Like,
literally never. I have never in my life had a bat fly at my head. But yeah, I've never seen a bat in person. And, you know, I didn't even see it, but I heard it. Wait. I don't know what's going on with this internet. Anyways, I've never seen a bat in person, but I definitely heard that thing, and it was like, I was like, oh my god, no, and I ran inside.
Oh my god. Sounds like freaking like some creature from the cave. Like,
yes, I was like, that has never, ever happened. And then the other instance was the other day, I saw that someone just moved into our neighborhood with a husky, and I've only seen it in its own fence. Like, it's, I think it has one of those shock collars where it like can't get out of the fence. And it's a gorgeous dog. I've only seen it in the fence. So I'm sitting at this desk last week, and I see the flash of this husky tail way down the street. I just see it fly past the house. And then 2 seconds later, I see a woman run the opposite direction screaming. I said, that has to be her dog. There's no way that's not her dog. So I went out, I ran outside. Something in me was just like, people fly in this neighborhood. I'm not going to watch somebody else's dog get killed. Like, I'm not doing it. And I ran up to her and I was like, is that your husky? He went that way. And then Steven got some.
He's like running the wrong direction.
Yeah. I was like, you're going the wrong way, girl. He went that way. And I think he was trying to go back home because Steven took some peanut butter treats out there and he ended up cornering the dog, like in, like near the dog's yard. Mm-hmm. And he was like, the dog's like very smart. It would not take a treat from me, you know, like wouldn't take anything from a stranger, but he stayed until his owner could like get to him. And yeah. I was like, I don't know, man, all of these random animals coming to me for help. It's kind of making me, you know, wonder if Effie's trying to get a message to us, but she'll get it to me, whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but she'll get it to me.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's so weird how, I don't know, like, I mean, I still get really sad. I've like bawled my eyes out half this podcast, but also like, I feel like I'm one spectrum or the other. I'm either really sad and upset and crying, or I literally just like feel his presence so much that it's almost like he's not gone, which is very comforting. Like, I love that. I love that so much. I don't have dreams about Bingley, and at least I haven't yet. And I actually really don't dream about the people that I've lost either. And when I do, the only dreams that I have had them in are like really bad ones. They're like nightmares. So I almost feel like there's, I almost feel like that's why I don't have dreams. I almost feel like there's a reason that none of the people or pets that I've lost have come to me in dreams, and they've come to me in other ways. Or maybe they know that like, I'll wake up and be like, oh, that was just a good dream, and like not acknowledge that they're like, yo, that was me. And so they come to me different, because I really think that our loved ones and our pets come to us in ways that they know we're going to recognize it. A fucking fly. You know, not everybody's going to know that that fly is their freaking cat coming to say hi from the afterlife. But like, I did. I was like, that, hi, hello. Oh, That was it. That was the one part I was missing from that story, was the whole thing that made me believe that that was Bingley, was once I started noticing this fly and I started getting that feeling, I held out my finger and I said, Bingley, if this is you, come land on the tip of my finger. And he did. It did. And that's like what solidified it for me. So I really do think that our pets and loved ones, like, for some people it is dreams, and I think that you can't ask for dreams, but I don't know, like, I've asked for dreams and I still haven't gotten them for whatever reason, but other things happen to me, like, and most of it's usually like, I usually ask for signs, and I'll like choose something really specific and then I see it, and maybe that's why my family and pets have responded to my signs like while I'm awake and not while I'm asleep, because they know that like if I've asked for this and they give it to me, then I'm gonna be like, oh my god. But yeah, I have really never had dreams of people that I've lost, at least good ones.
I think that like you said, to me is like they will show up to you whichever way they know will absolutely always get your attention. And I feel like Bingley was like, yeah, like I'm gonna bug her.
I'm gonna literally bug her by being fly. And literally, like, I'm gonna have her bump into another pet named Bingley. Like, to me, I was like, it can't get any more obvious than that. Like, it can't. And so yeah, I think that, yeah, that they come to you just, you know, they know us. And they know also, like, what points we are in our life, because, you know, like, years and years ago, I wasn't asking my mom for signs. Like, I didn't believe in that stuff. I didn't know what I believed, and I wasn't paying attention because I didn't think that shit could happen. So it's probably also just, like, you know, where you're at too. And, like, don't get discouraged if you're someone who's lost someone or just anything. Like, if you lost your damn hermit crab and you are fucking upset about it, be upset about it and ask your hermit crab for signs. Anything, you know? I think it could be anything. Anything that you love that has been alive and that you've lost. I really do think that all you have to do is ask for signs. Actually, and I think I've recommended this book before on the podcast. I, like, don't know how I feel 100% about, like, all mediums, because, like, I know that, like, not everybody's a medium, but everybody's a medium. You know, I don't really know. But there's one that I like, and her name is Laura Lynn Jackson, and she's written a couple books.
She sounds familiar.
Yeah, one of them is called Signs, and she just teaches you about asking for signs. And the other one is called The Light Between Us, and she just describes...
Yep.
You know, your family members and your loved ones, including your pets, never leave you. And they're literally, like, right there. You know, just ask to talk to them and ask for them to talk to you. And don't get discouraged if you've lost someone and you feel like you haven't heard. Like, just keep listening. And I think that's, like, the greatest comfort that I've had, is at least just... When you get a sign, it is, like, I mean, it can make you cry, but, like, it makes me really, really happy to get a sign. And I start freaking out in a PetSmart.
That is the weirdest shit. The come here, Bingley. That is not a common name.
No, it's not.
I remember when I first met Bingley and I was like, okay, what is his Bingley? What?
That's everybody's reaction was like, wait. And, like, usually everybody would guess something else.
I wonder, do you have any pictures of Bingley and Effie together?
I was looking the other day to see if I had any, and I swear to God,
there has to be at least one.
There literally has to be one. At least one.
I'm gonna have to pull out my flash drive to
Effie and Bingley had a fun relationship too. Friends. Like,
she would chase him and he would chase her.
Yeah. Yeah. I have this photo. This is still your photo for, like, your contact. Let's see if I can. This one.
Oh my, how did he ever let me hold him?
I don't know. He's like just flipping out. Like, he literally just flipped the fuck out. Like, literally flip, like, doing flips.
I don't remember that at all. I always thought, like, I was like, no, Bingley wants to be held by Liz and Liz only, and he will beat my ass if I try to pick him up.
He will beat my ass.
But there I was, picking him up. Oh.
Yeah, I'll have to look. I know there's gotta be one.
I know they're up there partying.
They are.
Wherever there is, they are up there and they are hardcore having a ball. And sometimes that's all I can think about just to get through the day. Is like, Effie's up there, Bingley's up there with so many other people who love and care about us. And I can say that now and feel a little bit of comfort. But again, people don't fucking say that when it's very, very fresh, meaning the day of or the day after or the week after. Fuck you.
Yeah. And don't, yeah, I had people, like, I told them, and they were like, so when are you going to get another one? I'm like, are you looking to get punched in the throat? Like, do I say that for everything? I say that for everything. But are you looking to get punched in the throat? Like,
why?
How rude. And all I can think of is that they just don't think of pets the same way. Like,
no,
like,
they don't. Like,
you know, I mean, and I do think I got a cat very, like, to me, it was a month. Like, a month is literally nothing in the blip of time. Like, that was a lot. But, you know, having another cat has really helped me grieve. But yeah, don't go asking people when you're gonna get another one. That's
like, you wouldn't ask somebody who had a miscarriage, when are you gonna try again? Like, that's not appropriate. So same goes for death. Like, of a, you know, it's all relative. Just read the room, people. Goddamn.
I know.
But since I guess it's my internet that's fucking up right now. I don't know if Steven is, like, playing a video game or something, but maybe we should just end this episode here, because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. It's definitely something is going on. We can end it here.
Yeah, we'll just...
Thank you for listening to our cries and our grief. And thank you for being there, listeners. That's, you know, this is really, like, this is very, like, therapeutic for me, like, to talk to you and to also know that there's, like, people who, you know, think similar to us listening to and have probably gone through similar things. And it's nice to get on here and talk about things, even if you end up blubbering like a little baby.
Yeah, and I'm honestly shocked we haven't cried while recording before this, knowing us. So
I know.
We held out for a long
time. We really did.
We fucking tried. But yeah, I mean, we both been on the same page. Like, it was just, it's too much sometimes to fucking do anything. I miss doing this every week. So that's how you know that, like, we were both we're both still having a hard time. But
yeah.
So thank you guys for listening to us cry. There is no doubt in my mind that we will probably cry again in the next episode, most likely. Let's not lie to ourselves.
Right. Again, you're lucky I haven't already cried. How many episodes are we in and this is our first time crying on the podcast?
34, 35.
Oh, yeah.
We're still early.
That's true.
Maybe if it was like episode 100 and we hadn't cried, I would have thought
something. I'd be a little shocked.
Yeah, I'd be a little shocked. Oh, fuck. Okay, well, thank you guys for sticking around. Now you understand fully where we're at and why we haven't recorded, and I am sure that you understand because you are all, from what I can gather, good human beings. Fuck me. Good human beings. You're human beings. But we will most likely, emotional beings that we are, record next week, and you will probably hear from us again, but just please keep us in your thoughts, because shit is rough out here right now and I want to jump off a cliff 98% of the time. So there's that.
Yeah.
I'm laughing on the outside.
Okay, same.
But on the inside it is not like that,
right?
Okay, we love you guys and we'll talk to you in the next one.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.